Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've previously mentioned that for 4 years during my youth, we were members of the Church of the Nazarene. Which in the 70s, because I don't want to improperly describe the Church of the Nazarene. The Church of the Nazarene I knew was in the 70s. But in the 70s, if somebody asks you what is a Nazarene was one who believed Wesleyan theology and practiced Pentecostal worship and church government. So every once in a while, if I get wound up and y'all say it's the Baptist coming out in you, no, it's not. It's the Nazarene coming out in me. But we went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth, every revival service, and they weren't piddling once a month or 4 days. It was all week. Sunday night through Saturday. I believe I'm not embellishing now. I believe it was that long. And then on top of that, since as the Nazarenes, we were in the minority, we'd help each other out. So when another Nazarene church or congregation would have a revival service, we would go to theirs. I wish I could tell you how many times I went to the altar and rededicated my life. If I had a dollar for every time I went to the altar and rededicated my life, Sally and I would be retired. And every time I went, I fully intended that this time was it. I was going to walk the straight and narrow. I was going to follow through. And I did fairly well until I walked out the door. And as soon as I faltered, I gave up, only to restart the cycle of repent, rededicate, catch on fire, falter, fail, and repent, etc. The intent was fully there, but the follow-through was lacking. Peter struggled. The night before the crucifixion, just a few hours before his arrest, Jesus was preparing the disciples for the horrific and terrifying events that were about to occur. And Jesus warns Peter that he's going to deny knowing him three times. Peter has said, Lord, I'm ready to stick with you when everybody else runs. Even if everybody else abandons you, I'm not. I'm ready to die or go to prison. And Jesus responds, no, Peter. When it turns ugly tonight, you're going to deny you even know me. And you'll do so three times. A few hours later, Jesus is arrested. And before dawn, Peter has denied Jesus, just as had been predicted. I'm glad Jesus chose Peter as a disciple. And I'm particularly glad that Jesus made Peter the chief disciple. And further, I'm glad that the biblical authors recorded Peter, the man who served Jesus, as opposed to a mythical halo-wearing, unwavering hero-type character. The Bible records Peter, the chief disciples, experiencing as many, perhaps more, failures than he experienced victories. Am I far off base if I believe that Peter is the disciple that most of us identify with? But notice something that to me is huge in Jesus' relationship with Peter and his calling of Peter. Jesus knew Peter when he called him. And 3 years later, when Peter was about to become one of the leading founders of the church, Jesus knew Peter's strengths and he knew Peter's weaknesses. To name just a few, you can't be exhaustive in one 15 or 20 minute sermon. But just to name a few, Jesus told Peter that the rock of his faith would be the foundation upon which Jesus would build his church. And Jesus called Peter Satan because he did not understand the nature of Jesus' mission. Even though just a few moments before, Peter was the only one that recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Peter denied knowing Jesus to the point of calling down curses on himself to try to validate his points. And church tradition tells us that Peter died a martyr's death. Jesus knew Peter. And even as he was predicting Peter's denial, Jesus was predicting Peter's redemption. Remember a very almost subtle but important line in our scripture lesson. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. You hear that? Now, I want to paraphrase in John's paraphrase. In one sitting, Jesus tells Peter, "Peter, you're going to blow it. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up big time. But when things have settled down and you've come back to me, strengthen your brothers because they're going to do the same thing." Do you hear that? In the same sitting, Jesus knew Peter was going to mess up. But he knew Peter would be back. And when you have come back, strengthen your brothers. You know, Jesus continues to call well-intentioned, struggling, faltering human beings. Jesus calls us in all of our enthusiasm and all of our reluctance, in all of our intelligence and all of our lack of. As Jesus knew Peter, Jesus knows us. The saying still rings true, Jesus does not call the qualified, Jesus qualifies the called. As I contemplated and wrote these thoughts, two main groups of people came to mind. There are those who do not serve Jesus in an intentional way because they don't feel worthy. Who in the world am I to suggest to another person that they consider accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior when I continually fall short and mess up? Who am I to suggest to someone else that following Jesus is the way to straighten out their life when I continually deal with my own character flaws? You could name your own. But if that describes you, I point you to Peter. Yes, daily we strive to become more like Jesus than we were the day before. And yes, we strive for those character flaws and issues to hold less dominance over us each and every day until eventually they are conquered and completely eradicated. But Jesus knows us. Jesus knows our intentions. He knows who we want to be. And He knows our struggles. Jesus knows how we dream of doing great things for Him. And He knows our limitations and our fears. If you're waiting until you are worthy to serve Jesus, you never will. The example of Peter reminds us that our first calling is to serve and follow Jesus, starting where we are. As we serve Jesus successfully, we celebrate. When we fall short, in other words, sin, sometimes falling terribly short, we confess our sins, we receive forgiveness for our sins, we get up, we dust off, we learn from our mistakes, and we keep on serving. You say you're not worthy? Do you think I am? I'm not. You say you don't feel qualified? I'll tell you what, I'll make a confession. As a young preacher, I felt very qualified. As an old preacher, I don't think I have a clue what I'm doing. But the Bible shows that God accomplishes the miraculous when even just a few unworthy, unqualified people offer themselves to be changed and molded and used by Jesus. Now maybe you're in another group. You had a genuine soul-saving experience. You caught on fire. You started serving Jesus, but then you ran into the humanity of fellow Christians. And serving proved to be a bit more challenging than you anticipated. And so you quit. Perhaps you were on fire, but you fell short. You sinned. You messed up. Period. I mean, it wasn't somebody else. You messed up. And so you pulled yourself out of the game. Peter fumbled on his own 1-inch line. But through the Holy Spirit, he bounced back. When I was appointed to Lincolnton United Methodist Church in the year 2000, I was not asked about my theology. I was not asked about my approach to ministry. I was asked if I liked football. It was not a get-to-know-you question. It was a serious question. Fortunately, I was able to say yes. Everything you imagine as the mystique of high school football was Lincoln County. No, I take that back. Is Lincoln County. They were so used to winning that if they did not make at least the semifinals, in other words, if they did not play in the game playing for the championship game, the season was a bust. ...2005 was not a typical Lincoln County football season. As a matter of fact, going into week 4, they were 0-3, and week 4 was not promising. The whole town was disheartened. The coach's comments in the paper offered the fans no hope. In the comments that I heard in the stands, have you ever been to a high school football game? You remember everybody in that stand, beer bellies, pot bellies and all, they were all high school football stars? They were all legends in their own minds? Well, the comments I heard from these folks in the stands were, shall we say, less than understanding and sympathetic of these 15, 16, 17-year-old boys trying to play and having the whole town down on them. Then the team started to focus a little bit. And they won a game. And then another. Lincoln County ended that year as the 1A state champions. You might be one of those whose record of serving Jesus is less than stellar. Well, you can't undo your losses. I can't undo mine. Our losses are just that. We can't undo our losses. But we can do something about the future. We can decide this moment to focus on Jesus rather than our losses. We can decide to focus on Jesus rather than our weaknesses. We can decide to focus on Jesus rather than other people's opinions of us. We can decide to focus on our potential through Jesus rather than what we see in ourselves. And it's amazing what can happen when our focus shifts from our inadequacies to Jesus' faith and power. The impossible becomes the possible and even reality. Why becomes why not? If you've not been serving Jesus because you feel unworthy in general, or if you have faltered or failed in the past and you've lost confidence in yourself to serve, I offer you an invitation. I invite you to stop looking at you. Let me repeat that. Stop looking at you. If our confidence is in us, we just might as well leave. None of us should think about serving. But when we submit ourselves as Jesus' instrument, as Jesus' tool, there is no limit to what Jesus can and will accomplish through us. Right now, spiritually, you may be 0-3, but you can be a champion for Jesus. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know all of us in this room. I imagine all of us, I know I do. I can imagine all of us in some way struggle with why we cannot serve you. We have our individual reasons. And Lord, perhaps we have failed you. I know we have failed you in some way. But gracious Lord, thank you for the example of Peter. Short of Judas, he could not have failed any worse. Yet even as you knew that was coming, you were calling him back to you. So Lord, you know every one of us. Where we have sinned against you, forgive us. Where we have failed, pick us up. Lord, we're struggling, faltering, sinful human beings. but through your Holy Spirit. Through your Holy Spirit, we can be change agents for eternity. So Lord, speak to each heart as he or she needs to hear you, that leaving this room, we will all be strengthening our brothers and sisters and serving you with all of our heart. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Our altar is